Hey, everybody. We have a room full today, so hopefully public comments won't go too long. I would like to call the order. Are we ready? I would like to call the order. I think it's this one here. The regular meeting of the Finance Committee of the Town of Discovery Bay on this August 5th. Can I get roll call, please?
Taken, let the record show all members are present.
Okay. Being facetious before, there is nobody in the room. Are there any public comments online?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, so that was the time for public comments. Again, online, if you have something you want to talk to us about that's not an agendized item, now would be the time to let us know. Nothing? Okay, we will move on and close public comments to the consent calendar. That would be you.
Oh, I approve the consent calendar. I make a motion to approve the
There you go,
consent
and I will
calendar.
second that. So that's done.
We're doing good right now.
Yeah, we're just rolling right along. Updates. I think it's the heat. Is somebody giving up? Oh, is
Yes.
Margaret online?
I am. How are
Do I
you?
miss? You having fun like we are?
Well, I'm thankful that it's not as warm as where you were at, so.
I think we're keeping it under 3 digits today, but
Minus
anyway,
100 in Sacramento.
is it?
Oh, my God.
So it's your update. What do you want to
Yes,
tell us?
absolutely. So, as you know, over the course of the past year, we've been making modifications to our software implementation, and we're using Tyler as our software for our financial system. And we are at the last phase of that process, which is now on our Tyler payments. It will be referred to as municipal online payments to the user, but it is going through the Tyler system. And this is allowing us to convert for our auto pay from Express, which is what we're currently using today, over to Tyler. And that allows for a better interface, if you will, with the system and giving more timely, if you will, information between the payments that are received and then how they're reflected into their accounts. So as part of that process, we did meet with Tyler to go through what the various steps are, and we have implemented those steps and are ready to make that information known to our residents, our businesses within our service area. So there will be an announcement that will go out with the bills that are going out this week, letting them know what that process is as far as signing up for auto pay. This certainly can go to any of the existing individuals that are currently using auto pay, and we will welcome anybody who would like to now use auto pay to make their payments on their utility billings. In addition to that, there is other planned sort of announcements that Stephen can go through, but we are also wanting to let people know that we are working with them to make sure that we're trying to communicate the best that we can, that we want to make sure that they set up the new one before they cancel the next one so that we can make sure that there is no duplicate or missed payments associated with their auto pay. So with that, I'll have Stephen share out the additional communications that we're giving to the residents and businesses.
Awesome. Thanks, Margaret.
Does I turn all this off?
I think we're good. Yeah, so what we're trying to do, to Margaret's point, is really just make sure that residents understand if when you get the notification, which is going to come via email, it's going to come as a bill insert and it's going to be on social media in the months of August and in the months of September. So every resident should see this in theory about six times that we're going to be transitioning this auto pay service. The point we really want to emphasize, and we're hoping people really pay attention to, is that when you create your new auto pay, you need to go into Express Bill Pay and delete that existing auto pay. If you don't, there is the chance that you are double billed for that month's utility bill. Internally, staff is going to be going through and doing our best to make sure that we catch any duplications in auto pays and try to stop them before they go. But the onus really is going to be on the customers to make sure that when they set up that new auto pay, they cancel their existing auto pay. So we're doing the best we can moving forward from this point. Again, bill insert this month and next month, an email to every single customer that signed up for this month and next month, and then social media, trying to drive that point home for folks.
So you ha if you're on auto pay, I just want to make sure I understand this. If you're on auto pay right now, it doesn't automatically transfer.
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay, so now let's hear from the dummies in Discovery
I
Bay.
know, I'm that dummy because when you said it's on your Express Pay, it just changed it. I'm like, ooh, I don't know my Express Pay password because I signed up like 10 years ago.
We had a situation
Yes, that's
July, August, where people's billing got double billed and we had kind of a screw up. That situation is behind us, is that
right.
correct?
That is correct.
Because I'm now being billed correctly. But now I've got to make another adjustment, is that correct?
That's correct. And we intentionally tried to phase this in the way that we did to ensure that transition and the way we were doing bills was able to happen correctly. We were able to rectify all of the issues. So yes, utility billing is being done. Go ahead.
So I recently opt out of paper bills because it's stupid. I don't even open it. I know what it is. I've already gotten the email notification. So to save the town 57 cents or whatever the heck it cost, I don't even know what it costs to send a letter these days.
It's like
I remember,
75, 80
it's not
cents.
like a nickel. I used to be a nickel.
It's not a
No, not
nickel.
anymore.
We are
Okay.
not in
I'm old
1920.
enough to remember when it went from 3 to 5 and it was an uproar. The community complained. Anyway, so not this community. So I will receive an email explaining to me what I need to do. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Because I no longer am receiving paper.
That is correct.
Mary and I worked out. Thank you. And I sent her a confirmation just so you had it for the record.
Staff has created, and Tyler has a step-by-step guide. So in the email that you'll receive in big red letters, it says action required and it details
So, okay, as
what
long as
you
that
got to do.
happens.
Email and in the statement. So whether if you're someone that throws it away, you don't receive them anyways, you'll get the email and social media. So we're the three
Okay.
options we have, we're trying to hit all of them.
But those that have opted out of paper will receive it only via electronic notification,
That is
which
correct.
is fine because that's what they're expecting.
That's correct.
I get like two emails from you guys. I get one saying this is coming up, and then I get one that says, oh, we took it out of your account every month. That's the old system. Maybe the new system will be different. We'll wait and see.
And I will say on that, Director Graves, that it is a personal preference onto the notifications that you receive.
So do we.
There are other ways that you can make payments too. But again, we're focused primarily on the auto pay, and then we can start to introduce other things like interactive voice response. We can do text to pay. So there's other ways to be able to
Okay,
have individuals
so
pay.
it's going to be sign up ACH. You're going to sign up with your routing number and bank account number. Is that correct?
Or credit card or electronic
Well,
check.
however you want
Yeah,
to do it.
there's all
Right.
those options
Are
available.
we charging a fee for credit card?
No.
We're eating the
As
3%,
a government
5%.
agency, we cannot.
We're not allowed to.
That's correct.
Okay. I wish it was a true of our HOA. That's a whole nother story. They just eliminated
You pay
ACH.
taxes that way. You get charged too.
Well, yeah, if I pay the county my taxes, they charge me an upgrade. If I pay my DMV, they charge me a fee, a 3%.
Utilities.
Okay. It sounds like to me it'll be well understood and clear. This is not, I think, I hope, because this is not new, even to a Neanderthal like me, that these things happen and I can probably make it work. So I'll let you know if I can.
So if we call because we don't know our password, will we be able to, like,
Do we have to know our
if we don't know
password?
our password for what we're
Do we have
currently
to know our
doing,
whole password?
You will. You'll
how do
to
we
get
just,
into ex you'll call Express Bill Pay.
you have to change your password then.
yeah,
Yeah.
because
As
the
usual, when
password
you
we
forget
don't
your
know.
password.
Correct. And it's on their website, or you call Express Bill Pay. You need to get into their system to be able to
How
deactivate it.
many times, if you put your password that you think it is, does it lock you out? I'm serious. Like, I am this password.
I
You don't
don't
know.
have an
Okay,
answer to that.
so I'm just gonna call Express Bill Pay.
And with all of our materials, obviously town staff is available to help
Give
if
you
all
a
other
password.
resources have been expended.
What else is it called? Yeah, I don't
Okay,
have a password for that.
I'll be calling staff.
I know, but I have no X's, so I looked at EX just to see if I did it.
We're clearly freaking out about this.
Don't worry. When you see your bill insert and the email and the social media, it'll it's all very clear. Nice step-by-step instructions.
What's Vector solutions?
The other thing I wanted just to make note in the notification, we are stating that we would like you those individuals that currently are on OPAY, which we understand to be about 800 individuals of all of our customers, but that we are asking you to complete this task, if you will, to set up and deactivate by the September 25th due date. That way we can then transition over, and then we will work with individuals to help them, whoever, to get onto autopay. Because again, what's great about it is that you are going to be able to see, just like you have on Express, if you look, that you can see sort of the history of your billings. You can see the payments.
Wasn't Express Pay tied to Ion Water?
No, Ion
Okay.
Water is tied to our meter system, which is Badger.
I got that password.
So,
I just used one of the three passwords that are out on the dark web, but they send me notifications. It's probably one of those three.
let me borrow your
The ones
password
that
a
aren't important,
second.
I leave out in the dark web. All right. Sirian
Anything else? Any questions?
lets me know that all the time.
Thanks, Trey.
No, Margaret. I mean, listen, we're kind of kidding around about this, but it's probably been a relative nightmare to make all this happen.
Yeah, for
Very
sure.
detailed, probably a lot of time with IT help and consulting with whoever our provider is and that and this and that. So thank you for your diligence in working through something I'd never be able to get through, that's for sure. So.
Well, and I will say, really, the thank you goes to the staff behind the scenes. So to Terry, to Zuleika, and to Kelly, that really, take on the brunt of the phone calls if there were issues and all that stuff. So really, the appreciation goes to them. I and Stephen just try to make sure that we make it as smooth as a possible transition. So,
well, hopefully people are coming.
Well, I'm glad that we know about it. So when we get asked about it, because there's more and more questions being thrown out there these days. So,
Yeah. And so just to your point too, we feel comfortable enough with the data that we're seeing now to really make sure that the billing process is going well, and we're having more insight into the way that that the reporting comes through, so that we're able to address any issues of an account, that maybe needs to have some kind of adjustment made to ensure that they're getting billed at the correct rates and all that. The other thing to make note of, not that it's related to this, but we are announcing in our water bill this week that we are implementing the fiscal year 26-27 rate as approved by the board in their cost of service study. So that is also going to into play as also at the same time. So just so that you're aware of that as well.
Well, right. And I think that brings us to you again.
This is how I am with all Margaret.
Right. So why don't you just go ahead and move into E1? You have agenda there in front of you, I suppose, huh?
Yes,
We're done with D1, is that correct?
absolutely.
Okay. You're up.
Yeah, I want to just introduce the audit partner with CLA, our auditing firm. So Daphne Munoz is here to do our annual introduction. We're starting the audit process for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2026. So with that, I'll turn it over to her. She has a presentation to share with you all.
All
And I think we have the slides to share for you, Daphne, if you like.
right. Okay. Or I can, yeah.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear
Good
you.
afternoon.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Good. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon, Finance Committee members. Again, my name is Daphne Munoz, and I am the principal for the audit engagement for the town of Discovery Bay, and I am here today to present just a planning discussion for our audit for the year end of June 30, 2026. Next slide, please. So I'm just going to go briefly talk over go over our scope and our process, our timeline, plan and responsibilities, and touch a couple of new GASME pronouncements. Next
Okay,
slide, please.
can I ask you a question real quick before we get going here? Just
Yes.
for those that are online and those of us here in the room that can't remember how this works, how often do we do this audit?
Yearly, the town is required to have an annual audit.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Next slide, please.
Go ahead.
I think Kelly's trying to advance. There we go.
Okay.
For our scope, we perform a financial statement audit. We will be expressing an opinion on the financial statements in accordance that the financial statements are prepared in accordance with GAAP. We will also provide a report on internal controls over financial reporting and compliance with in accordance with government auditing standards. We will also be updating our understanding of internal controls over financial reporting. At the end of our audit, we will be issuing an audit governance communications that is required by our professional standards, as well as if we have any recommendations on internal controls. And some of the non-audit services that we will be providing for the year is like if there's anything that comes up to our attention that would require adjustments, we will be proposing adjusting or correcting journal entries if necessary. We will be also assisting with adopting any new accounting standards. And then we will also be assisting with the preparation of the annual special district's financial transaction report that the town is required to submit to the state controller's office. Next slide, please. Just this is just goes over briefly the overview of our audit and the timeline. So we generally use a collaborative approach, including seeking information and input from management and governance, and with that, to develop an audit plan that focuses on the risk areas and areas that are significant to the town's stakeholders. So we normally do our preliminary procedures, which we normally call an interim audit around June or July. And then we are set to let me step back a little bit. The preliminary audit procedures, this is where we update our understanding of the internal controls over financial reporting. We do our interviews and we do some tests of controls to see if those controls are still operating as they were represented to us. And then in August, which we are slated to start our what we call a final fieldwork audit in 2 weeks, August 17th. And during this phase, this is where we do test the and year-end balances. So we perform substantive testing, such as confirmation of cash with financial institutions, confirmation of debt, vouching of subsequent receipts for receivable, vouching of subsequent payments for liabilities. We do inquiries to attorneys for if there's any significant contingencies. And some other unpredictability procedures that we do just to make sure that we do look at other areas, not the same thing every year. And then in September will be August, September will be a final fieldwork. Again, that's where we will be doing some review and drafting of the reports, and then we anticipate issuing the final report in November. Next slide, please. As far as responsibilities, as far as governance is concerned, the responsibility is just to provide strategic direction for accountability, including the financial reporting. Management responsibilities is adopting sound internal controls over financial reporting, adopting accounting policies in accordance with GAAP, make management decisions. The financial statements really are the responsibility of management, although we do assist in the preparation of the financial statement. At the end of the day, the fair presentation of the financial statements are the responsibility of management, as well as adopting programs to prevent and detect fraud. Now, our responsibility as auditors is to provide an opinion on whether the financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects in accordance with GAAP. Again, we're going to perform our audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards as well as government auditing standards. And those standards require us to plan our audit to provide reasonable assurance, but not absolute assurance that the financial statements are free of material misstatements. To provide that opinion, we perform an understanding of internal controls and are based on those understanding, we have a risk-based approach depending on the internal controls. Next slide, please. So these are just as far as governance, what are the areas of focus that you could have us look at, individual accounts, any transactions that you think merit our attention, if there are any other concerns as far as litigations or operation or industry trends, if you have any knowledge of fraud, and then lastly, there I had that you have my contact information. If any time between now and November something comes up and that you think merits our attention, we do really encourage for you to contact us. Next slide. So I'm just going to go over the next couple, the last slides. We'll just go over the standards that the district has to implement either this year on or the upcoming year. First is the GASB 103, which is the financial reporting model improvements. This will really just impacts the financial statement presentation. It doesn't impact the way the district, the town does the the accounting, and there are just some changes in the way the management discussion and analysis, and there's just clear definition of any unusual or infrequent items, and then it changes the presentation of the proprietary fund statements, which adds two new sections in the revenue and expense and change in statement of revenues and expenses. And then the last two really doesn't affect the town much. So but this is something that the district will have to implement this year. Next slide, please. Another standards that the district has, the town has to implement is the disclosure of certain capital assets. It just provides additional guidance on certain assets that needs now to be disclosed. And one of those items is if there are some capital assets that are held for sale or related pledged debt, then those have to be disclosed. And just clarify now the distinction between the lease assets, subscription assets, and the right to use for PPP assets. Next slide, please. And this one is effective for next year, which is GASB 105 for subsequent events. It just clarifies a subsequent event definition and when, if, when, and which one has to be disclosed. I believe that concludes my presentation. I will be glad to ask to answer any of your questions.
I think it seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, I obviously you're taking into account whatever government changes are going on. I think that's what you've informed us of here. And these are all regulated by state laws and rules, is that correct?
There's what you call the Government Account Audit Accounting Standards Board that actually provides the GASB standards, and but the audit itself is by government code. It's required by the government code.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't think it's any, there's nothing really major different than what we've done in the past. And we look forward to hearing your report come November, where whenever I guess that was what the
It's, yeah,
timeline
like
was.
November.
And good luck. Have fun. Enjoy all those documents.
We enjoy it. I will share that Daphne did mention to me that in order to make some assessment and just to hear from the Finance Committee, that she will be contacting each of the Finance Committee members to hear from you specifically on any their fraud questionnaire that they need to ask. It's part of their annual process. So I will do through Dina, do an email introduction of Daphne so that she can make that contact with you.
That sounds great.
Thank you, Daphne. I appreciate the presentation.
Thank you.
All right, Margaret, you're back on.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much, Daphne. Appreciate you being here. All right. We are looking at the financial results for fiscal year 2026. And this is anticipated to share with you where our numbers were at the point in time when I put this together. Of course, this is prior to the audit taking place. So if there's something that comes up during the audit that requires us to record an entry, we will certainly be incorporating that into the final audited financial statements. So you'll see my references here to unaudited numbers, and that's where we're starting with. So let's begin by going to the next slide. So this first slide here is just to focus in on our what we refer to as our general fund, but really the activities from our special zones, the county zones of 57, 35, and 61. That activity goes through this item here. In making the final preparation here, I did break it out because there was a significant amount of special projects that were done this year. So I did break out that component of it because as we were putting together the budget for the year, what we are putting the budget together is just the annual maintenance costs and not necessarily special projects. We do get funding from the county for those special projects that come up and above, if you will, what that is. But I broke down, if you will, where that cost is. So as I shared with you previously, Regatta Park, we did get some funding specifically for that project. And then other special projects included like smart truck controllers over at Zone 61, various plant work or landscape work, to trim trees or to take care of other things that are within the landscape areas of those zones. Overall, it's not intended for us to necessarily make a net profit here, other than to, what other interest we might earn from having our funds available there. So you can see a net profit of 3,391. With that, we can go to the next slide.
So that explains the discrepancy between budget and actual, or those special projects incomes, correct?
Correct. Yes, and yeah, I finally took the time to kind of separate out the part that was the project so that you can kind of see how much was done. And again, all of that is reimbursed by the county. All
Okay,
right.
thank you.
Yes. So now we're on to water. And so again, this is the unaudited numbers through June 2026. And overall, you can see we had revenues of $6.5 million compared to the 6.3. Most notably, there is some of the additional funding that we got from the capacity and connection fees, which you'll hear a report in a little bit as it relates to the funds that we received towards that there. Because they're unknown because of the work that the developer does, we don't budget for it, but it is monies that we can account for in our overall financials numbers there. So aside from that, you can see we were fairly well aligned between each of the line items here. And if you recall, I believe Director Graves, you mentioned meter installation seemed to be off. I found the coding error, and so we was able to correct that. And now it's moving forward correctly going forward. So we were able to address that, and you can see again, most of the revenues are aligning well with what our budget was anticipated.
Got it.
Next slide. The next slide here focuses on salary. I'm sorry, the expenses for the year. Salary and benefits is a little bit below budget, and it was a budgeting strategy to ensure that we had accounted for all the time that individuals could work, even if there's individuals who may not work full time necessarily. And that's why you see the savings there. But again, throughout the various other lines you see there, we are well within budget, with the exception of system maintenance, which is largely having to do with the repairs of our distribution pipeline, that you can see that we are higher than anticipated. That being said, we were overall able to see expenses still come within the overall budget there, but it is a line item that I continue to monitor and discuss with management to ensure that we're able to take care of that. So overall, it's anticipated that we had net revenues over expenses. One of the things that I added this time around is what's important at the end of the year is to make sure that we understand where our debt coverage is. That is a legal debt covenant requirement. We are required to receive 1.20, and we are at 1.91. So that's a good sign based off of that. And then another thing that rating agencies look at is days cash on hand. So anything over a year, I'm sorry, over 6 months is or over 100 days, let me put it that way, is seen as a net positive. But again, it depends on the overall sort of forecasting that you anticipate. And so I'm closely watching those numbers there, understanding very well that, and you'll hear a little bit later from me about the working with the management team to understand the capital projects that are coming and what impact that could have on coverage and cash going forward. So, with that, I'm happy to go to the next slide.
I just have a comment.
Yes.
I don't know if there's a trend there, but I'm thinking there may be after being here on this board for a while that you mentioned system maintenance was a much higher than what was budgeted, and I'm wondering if that isn't there if there's going to be a trend based on the aging of and everything and whether we're compensating for that in future budgets.
Correct. And we have been increasing that budget over the years. And I know that there are some planned projects. So the combination of, what is considered operating costs, for those, outages that may happen that we need to address versus the long term sort of, like you said, addressing the aging infrastructure. So that will be certainly a conversation that will be more, I think, prevalent here in the 2027 fiscal year.
And I hate to do this, but we're in a very live room here, and it's and I'm half deaf. So you probably explained days cash on hand. Did you explain that?
I
Can you
did
just
not.
explain it? Oh, why is that important?
Because what when the and again, that is a really important financial metric. Again, as the district is either one maintaining its credit rating and we get evaluated by the rating agency. But also two, if you do plan on going out to debt, they look at that because they want to make sure that should there be some kind of, situation where you are needing funds to be able to forward projects. So if we continue to have higher costs, for instance, as it relates to maintenance, that you have cash on hand to be able to take care of those facilities that were financed by your debt. So again, both the financial metric of your debt coverage is telling you that you are making money on your money, right? So they want you to make for every dollar of debt, they want you to make a $1.20 of net income, if you will. And so that's one way of looking at it, and days cash on hand is another way of looking on making sure that you have that availability of cash to do that. And again, as we head into 2027 and as we start to move forward on some projects like the solar or finishing up the admin building and some other projects specifically relating to water, those are going to start to pull down on that cash balances there. And so we just want to make sure we keep that at a level that allows us to have the financial flexibility that's necessary should there be some kind of I don't want to call it an emergency, but some kind of need that, allows us to have those funds available to do that. Could also be such as, that if you had less revenues than you anticipated, to make sure that again you have cash available to take care of the known expenses that typically, systems have, right? You have, when we look at those costs on the previous page, many of those costs are, fixed in nature, right? That you're going to have salaries, you're going to have maintenance, you're going to have insurance, you're going to have those things. You got to make sure that you have cash to be able to pay for that. And that's what that day's cash helps to
Okay, thank
straight.
you.
All right, so now we're on wastewater. Here is the comparison of the unaudited June 2026 to the budget. And again, you can see we're about $1.1 million over the anticipated budget. Again, largely attributed to the capacity and connection fees that we received this past year from our developers. The other area that you saw there was the interest earnings. We did anticipate on drawing down on our cash this past year for specifically for some wastewater projects. That will happen. It's just that the timing of it is ha that it's happening in this fiscal year, meaning fiscal year 27, and not in 2026 when we thought that it would occur. And that's why you see higher interest earnings there. And on our annual charge, we got a little bit more than what we had budgeted. And that's based off of the work that is done literally at this moment to plan for, what is that fix, sorry, that annual charge that would come through the property tax bill. And so it's based off of, the number of units we have, based off of also the cost of service. So that being said, we got a little bit more than what we anticipated in the budget. All
Thank
right.
you.
Next slide is the expenses for the wastewater. Overall, again, you see here we're within the budget, 5.9 compared to 6.6. And again, the area that I would just like us to focus in on is we're seeing some savings, if you will, as it pertains to our utilities. So again, we anticipated higher costs. Again, that's a number there that we may or may not see change going forward, but we do anticipate that our usage has come in lower than what we thought. The other area that we're evaluating is we had some completed projects that we had in the last year, so just making sure that those get properly insured and so that we can start to see those costs get built into the annual cost as opposed to a future cost. But overall, you can see we ended up with a $2.2 million net revenues compared to the half a million that we anticipated. And again, I shared with you the debt coverage, so 2.28, so solid over two is wonderful, and you can see the days cash on hand. But I will give you a little foresight, which is that we do plan on using some of that cash for our wastewater projects. That's how we built it into the cost of service study, that we would use our cash to pay for the wastewater facility miscellaneous projects that they're working on, as well as the building. And so that cash, days cash will come on hand, but it will still be, I believe, at a healthy level. All right, next slide. We moved on to Zone 8, which is our landscape area, as well as our community center. Overall, you can see we had positive revenue compared to budget. And again, I will just point out some one-time revenues that we received here. So first of all, mentioned about the developers. There's also a fee that they pay for the community center and the park enhancement fee. So that's about $197,000. In addition to that, we had other contributions come in. Part of it was for the county funds that we got towards the community center, which we used a portion of it this year. So about 53,000, 54,000 we use this year. The balance of it will be used next year as we complete those project. Plus, we also received some funding from the individuals group that helped with the pickleball court conversion. And so that was about $120,000 there. So again, this is one-time funds to pay for one-time projects. But you can see the financial results of that. Next slide gives us the expenses. So overall, we see a net positive here. Again, when you look at expenses to the budget, again, I think most of them sort of lined up well. The reason why we're in a more positive position is that we had anticipated doing a lot more capital outlay for landscape projects. And there was a decision made earlier in the year to defer those projects and do some additional sort of analysis as it relates to how do we support Zone 8 going forward. Now there was some capital outlay here, and that's because again we got some external funding to be able to pay for some of those items here, and that's why you see those in that amount there of 270. And as a result of that, we didn't spend everything that we anticipated. In fact, the county funds was not even budgeted. Didn't get that was funds that we were able to use and a portion of it. And like I said, some of it will go next year.
So we budgeted a $500,000 loss.
Well, again, it wasn't so much a loss as a, and I made the note there that we plan to draw on our reserves, meaning our cash, to pay for those projects. And because that we were seeing that we were drawing on that on the reserves, I think that's the reason why we wanted to then take a step back and then understand sort of what is our path forward as it relates to supporting our landscape needs within Zone 8.
And when you say reserves, you're referring to the old Hoffman money?
Part of it is the Hoffman funds. It is also just your general
Yeah, I have some
cash
reserves.
balances or
That's
whatever,
something
right?
that
Right.
we can use. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
Do we
exactly.
know how what the balance is on the Hoffman account?
It's about 400,000 or so, give or take.
Yeah, and we agreed to keep it. I think the board voted to keep it about 250, correct?
Not, we made a decision not to completely drain it, so it'd be there for any
No.
sort of emergencies that we might come
But
up.
I think we discussed
Was
it
it
staying
250?
about 250,000.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not sure that a formal action was taken per se, but it was outwardly communicated.
Discussion
Yes,
about
let's
it.
keep 250.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll move on to zone nine. So here you've got zone nine here, kind of a simple, can fit it on one page, but again, stayed within the budget here. We received county reimbursement. So again, similar to zone H, which I didn't touch over there, but here on zone nine, any funds that or the usage of, I should say, our materials and our trucks and all that stuff, the county does reimburse us for that, but the funding for that goes specifically into zone eight and zone nine. And you can see we received a little bit more there than what we anticipated in the budget. And expense wise, made some great strides within zone nine to take care of some of the area there. And so you can see that the cost for salary is a little bit higher, as well as maybe program maintenance costs is slightly a little higher. But overall, we are finding ourselves that we were in a position to see that our expenses are just slightly above, but again, in a net positive position. And the funds that you see here just go right into that reserve account that I referred to that we can use then towards future capital projects as they come due. But none are planned at this time. All right, next slide, we'll focus in on our capital projects. So these are the capital projects that we're seeing the cost to date. And I've given you some indication of which ones have been completed. So the mobile modular to date, between the funding coming both from water and wastewater combined, it's $1.7 million. Well eight, we are over $6 million. Again, I know there's some costs that are still anticipated here. I know we were getting some work by PG&E that's there, as well as some closeout items. So we do anticipate getting to a final completion on that shortly. We have the marina underwater crossing that was completed some time ago, along with the cathodic protection that has been completed. The solar project, we have spent $240,000 to date. As we receive permanent approval on that, we'll be able to see more expenditures towards that project. And we're moving forward on the Sandpoint underwater crossing. A lot of that is the engineering costs that you see there in that number. Next slide. So here you have the wastewater capital project. So the first two are completed. Village lift station, most of that was done in last year, but it was completed early part of fiscal year 26. Lift station PLCs, that programming language, is about $170,000. And then the miscellaneous projects, which is a series of projects that I believe that the bid is either coming in or soon to come in, and will be presented to the board later. It will give us the cost estimates for, the actual construction, but these are the engineering costs through June 2026. Landscape projects, as I mentioned, we put a pause on those, and so there's none currently there. And then on the community center, just wanted to share that there are three items here. One was the pickleball court conversion, which again, the total cost was $165,005, where we received $120,000 from the community group. The synthetic turf was $53,570. That was where we were able to take some of that $150,000 we got from the county and use it towards making that happen over at the community center. And the retaining wall, some of the costs that were incurred here, but overall the total cost was 192. That finally completed early part of the fiscal year. Again, I completed a project this year. All right, next slide. I thought I also just kind of share with you what our cash balances are. So this is again unaudited, but this is where we anticipate our funds to be. As of June 30th, 2026. So overall, we have about $6 million in cash and another $11.6 million sitting in investment. That is either our mostly in our California class, a CD as well. And then how that funds is then allocated across the various funds. So you can see how when we are looking at allocating those interest earnings or where we have those funds available to pay for projects. This gives you an indication of what that is. Just wanted to share that piece of information for you.
Hey, Margaret.
Yes.
So Just because it was 40 years ago that I took accounting at Chippewa College. When you say claim on cash, so first of all, let's go up to the portfolio. And the cash on hand is pretty obvious. The investments is basically our savings account, correct?
So yeah, the cash would include any of our we have a checking account. Actually, we have a check two checking accounts and a money market account, and that's all within that top line. And then the investment is primarily a our investment within California class, and then we also have a CD with BAC Bank.
So this is just kind of like a balance sheet that so it says if we this is what's available for those particular because we have designated Prop 218 money here that has to be spent in these classifications, some most of them.
Right, specific.
And that, this is just showing that if that this is how it would be dispersed if we needed to disperse all that money.
Right. And so like if someone says, "Oh, let's go pay for, $1 million fix on Discovery Bay Boulevard for landscape." I'd be like, "Well, if you do $1 million, you'll be left with 393,000. Is
Got
that
it.
what you want to do?" So
Yeah.
I think it's an important distinction so that you can understand sort of where your guardrails are as it relates to the project sets there and the decisions that why we might, for instance, on wastewater, why we might draw down on those funds to pay for projects as opposed to going to get debt. But if you look at the water projects that's out there, it's a much higher number where maybe drawing down some of that cash, but it may anticipate that you might need to go get debt to pay for some of those other projects. So it helps us to see a bigger picture than just, Margaret saying, "Hey, you got to issue debt," and you can say, "But I'm sitting on a bunch of money. Why am I doing that?" Right? So this is just to give you that visibility.
Okay.
All right, next slide. This again just gives us an overview of our debt portfolio. Again, we pay December 1st and June 1st. So again, that's all taken care of. These are our balances outstanding. So about $33 million between the two funds. Again, about $27 million of that is, I believe, on the wastewater side, and the balances is over on the water side. And then at the bottom of the slide, just let you know that we have just under a half a million dollars left in our trustee account to use towards the Well 8 project. And so as we get those final closeout costs, we will be using the funds that are within this account. And if there are any funds remaining, we do have a reimbursement resolution on hand that we could then draw back and quote, pay ourselves back for incurring some costs that did not come out of the trustee fund originally, but we can make sure that we come whole on that. So next slide. So finally, last slide here for me is just to share with you some of our activities. So the last sort of module before what I mentioned to you on the auto pay is we had our fixed assets. So this is taking all of our information that was in Excel and actually putting it into the system where it actually calculates our depreciation and it properly handles disposals and all that. So that's what we see there. Of course, we had the adoption of our 2026-27 budget, and we also finalized the Zone 9 engineers report. So that's what we completed in the last period since we discussed things with the Finance Committee. And then coming up here in the new fiscal year, we've already mentioned two of them, the municipal online payments. That's the Tyler payments that we referred to on our first item today. You heard from Daphne that we're beginning the process for our 2026 audit. And then you've already kind of heard me say, but we are knowing what the capital planning looks like for on the horizon for us for 2026-27. We're going to begin looking at some improved modeling, financial modeling, and then start to look at some debt planning based off of some timing of those projects. I do anticipate that in fiscal year 2027, we will be issuing it, not necessarily between now and the end of calendar year, but probably in the new calendar year. Not between now and December, but more likely in the new calendar year is what I'm trying to say. So just wanted to give you a heads up as we progress through those projects that do anticipate that you'll see more information about that. And that takes me to the end of my comments.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Then we have one final action item I think you're involved with.
That is correct. So this item here is to discuss the capacity and connection report. This is required to provide you a report within 180 days. So since we were concluding the fiscal year 2026, I was working on this number anyway, so I thought I'd share the report with you. So as the report shares with you in the document, we had 2.3 million to start the year. We are now adding another $268,000 to it to bring to a total of $2.6 million, and those are monies that we have sort of designated within our overall cash balances to use towards future capital projects. So none were used during the fiscal year, and so we are anticipating, or we have a balance there. Sorry, typo. I just noticed. I should say balance as of June 30th, 2026, and so $2.6 million. On the wastewater side, we started the year with a $1.1 million. We're adding to it about $673,000, so bringing that total to $1.8 million. And then we had, in addition to those fundings that we saw come in, so those numbers should tie to what I showed on those other slides there. And then we also brought in about $21,000 of an administration and inspection fees. So that gives you sort of the conclusion that's there. The attachment that you have there gives you the breakdown so you can see the developer that's bringing it in. So mostly it was Pulte. There was a couple from Century Century Communities as well. And so that information is shared with you. And so this information is being shared with the Finance Committee, but I understand it will be at tonight's board meeting as a consent item, I believe. Well, maybe not a consent item, but it's being brought to the board tonight for a receive and file.
Fantastic. Are you talked out?
Nope. What else do you want to hear about? No,
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think we're good. Appreciate that. Actually, I think we have, or I
Yeah, I
think,
think we're
yeah,
aligned.
we're in agreement that we're going to recommend that the board move forward and accept the
Agreed.
connection and capacity fees. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
That being on the record, I think that leads us to the end of our meeting. I appreciate you, and thank you for the reports, and we'll see you in an hour and a half or two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you,
Thank
Margaret.
you. Thank you.
And with that, I adjourn the meeting. I got a couple questions.